They wanted every available dollar to be spent on more bombs and more bombers for the Strategic Air Command, so that Soviet planes could be destroyed before they ever left the ground. His stance gained support in Congress after the Soviet Union demonstrated its new long-range jet bomber, the Bison, at Moscow's Aviation Day in 1955. 10 Bisons flew past the reviewing stand, turned around, flew past it again in a new formation, and tricked American observers into thinking that the Soviet Air Force had more than 100 of the planes. The CIA predicted that within a few years the Soviets would be able to attack the United States with 700 bombers. Democrats in the Senate, led by presidential hopeful Stuart Symington, claimed that the Soviets would soon have more long-range bombers than the United States, raised fears of a bomber gap, and accused the Eisenhower administration of being weak on defense. "It is clear that the United States and its allies," Symington warned, "may have lost control of the air." Defying Eisenhower, Congress voted to appropriate an extra $900 million for new B-52s. The Soviet Union's bluff had an unintentional effect. It widened the bomber gap, much to the benefit of the United States. By the end of the decade, the Soviet Union had about 150 long-range bombers, and the Strategic Air Command had almost 2,000. Despite serious doubts that the United States could ever be protected against a nuclear attack, work began on an air defense and early warning system. At the very least, the Joint Chiefs concluded, such a system would provide a reasonable degree of protection for the essential elements of the war-making capacity: SAC bases, naval bases, command centers, and nuclear weapons storage sites in the ZI. The Army erected batteries of Nike anti-aircraft missiles to defend military installations and American cities. The Navy obtained radar-bearing picket ships and built Texas towers to search for Soviet bombers approaching over the ocean. The picket ships lingered about 500 miles off the coast of the United States. The Texas towers were moored to the seafloor, like oil platforms, closer to shore. The Air Force assembled squadrons of jet fighter interceptors, like the F-89 Scorpion, and developed its own anti-aircraft missile, the Bomarc, infuriating the Army, which had traditionally controlled the nation's anti-aircraft weapons. More important, the Air Force started to build a distant early warning, DEW line of radar stations 200 miles north of the Arctic Circle. Stretching from the Aleutian Islands off Alaska, across Canada to Greenland, the DEW line was supposed to scan the polar route from the Soviet Union and provide at least 2 hours' warning of an attack. It was later extended west to Midway Island in the Pacific and east to Mormont Hill in Scotland, a distance of about 12,000 miles. Its construction required the transport of almost 500,000 tons of building materials into the Arctic, where thousands of workers labored in temperatures as low as minus 70 degrees Fahrenheit. A sense of urgency pervaded the effort. The United States seemed completely unprotected against Soviet planes carrying hydrogen bombs. Begun in February 1955, construction of the DEW line's 57 Arctic radar stations, some of them featuring radio antennae 40 stories high, airstrips more than a mile long, and housing for the civilian and Air Force personnel who manned the facilities around the clock, was largely completed in about 2.5 years. Through an agreement with the Canadian government, the North American Air Defense Command, NORAD, was organized in 1957 with its headquarters in Colorado Springs, Colorado. NORAD's mission was to provide early warning of an attack and mount a defense against it. If Soviet bombers were detected approaching North American airspace, fighter interceptors would be sent to shoot them down as far as possible from the United States. Anti-aircraft missiles would be fired at enemy planes that managed to get past the interceptors. First Bomarc missiles, then Nike. Coordinating the many elements of the system during an attack would be an extraordinarily complex task. Signals would be arriving from picket ships, Texas towers, dew line sites, airborne radars. Hundreds of Soviet bombers might have to be spotted and followed, their positions sent to anti-aircraft batteries and fighter bases separated by thousands of miles. During the Second World War, Army radar operators had tracked enemy planes and used shared information about their flight paths verbally. That sort of human interaction would be impossible if large numbers of high-speed bombers approached the United States from different directions. The Air Force proposed a radical solution: automate the system and transfer most of its command and control functions to machines. The computerization of society, the technology writer Frank Rose later observed, was essentially a side effect of the computerization of war. America's first large-scale electronic digital computer, ENIAC, had been built during the 1940s to help the Army determine the trajectory of artillery and anti-aircraft shells. The war ended before ENIAC was completed, and its first official use was to help Los Alamos with early calculations for the design of a thermonuclear weapon. Los Alamos later relied on the more advanced MANIAC computer and its successor, MANIAC II, for work on the hydrogen bomb. Driven by the needs of weapon designers and other military planners, the U.S. Department of Defense was soon responsible for most of the world's investment in electronic computing. At the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, MIT, researchers concluded that the Whirlwind computer, originally built for the Navy as a flight simulator, could be used to automate air defense and early warning tasks. Unlike computers that took days or weeks to perform calculations, the Whirlwind had been designed to operate in real time. After extensive testing by the Air Force, an updated version of the Whirlwind was chosen to serve as the heart of the Semi-Automatic Ground Environment, SAGE, a centralized command and control system that linked early warning radars directly to anti-aircraft missiles and fighter interceptors, that not only processed information in real time, but also transmitted it, that replaced manpower with technology on a scale reminiscent of pulp science fiction. It was the first computer network. Built during roughly the same years as the Dew Line, SAGE consisted of 24 direction centers and 3 combat centers scattered throughout the United States. The direction centers were enormous 4-story windowless blockhouses that housed a pair of AN-FSQ-7